This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 8th, episode 993, brought to you today by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
Obviously.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Jamie, you can speak. That means you probably didn't get hurt too bad over the weekend.
Glenn, I am here. I am sitting down, but I cannot move my arms. So it's hard for me to even hold
You don't need to do
mouth.
That, so you're fine.
Can't even move the mouth.
As long as you didn't break your butt and your mouth, we're okay. We're safe.
Yes, the butt's a little sore, not going to lie, but I am here. I completed my first horse trial on my little racehorse, and we made it home.
And we're going to talk more about what happened in between in just a minute.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's there's always more to the story. It's never
that was
that
it,
simple.
Glenn. That was it.
That was it?
No.
We'll find out more. We got a lot of stuff packed into this Monday's show. Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday Equine Edition, following a thorough recounting of the weekend's adventures, that's you, Jamie, we'll check out another awesome must-see event for horse folks, and that would be the Andalusian World Cup coming up in Las Vegas. Next up, Dr. Gordon Chang from Omega Alpha Equine covers performance and recovery with his usual appealing mix of science and humor. Better pay attention. I need to do that, especially because I can hardly walk after lunging your pony over the weekend, Glenn. Rounding out our romp through the wacky world of Horse Nation is back stateside with her snarky sense of humor intact, so we'll hear all about that. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And we'll have our final, the final World Equestrian Games report at the end of the show for 4 years. And then the next one, we're all going to be there. We're all going up. We're all going.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. All right, Daily Whinnie. I have two quick ones, but I'm only going to play the music once. The first one is a happy birthday to one of our terrific listeners. Happy birthday to Kelly Peterson, whose birthday it is, and I know she is doing the Hit 'em Happies as well. So thank you for doing that, and boy, there's been so many people posting so much good stuff. You don't realize how much goes on in people's lives until they post that, and it's really cool to be – you're part of our lives every day. It's really cool to be part of yours, too. So it makes, you know, I'm sure some of our listeners kind of feel like they're stalkers because, you know, they know everything about us and we don't know anything about them. Now we can reverse that and we know a little bit about
we're
them.
We're stalking you guys. I know, you know, this makes me, I love the Hit 'em Happy. I love the post. I feel like at the 100-day end of it, I'm going to be sad.
I know. Well, you know, I just like Uta posted on there about finally getting her new horse and it came home. And, you know,
yay,
it's just like we're living through all of this with them, you know, so it's kind of neat. We don't always get to acknowledge every post because, you know, there's so many and we're busy and doing things. But we do read everyone. I I guarantee you, Jamie and I and Jennifer look at every single one of them. So we appreciate that. And I want to give a special shout-out also to Dr. Wendy Ying, because she gave me a pair's driving lesson on Saturday. I got to drive a pair of her horses in preparation for the World Percheron Congress Celebrity Driving Competition. So now I'm an expert. I'm ready. I'm good. One lesson up.
That's fun.
It was fun. We had a good time. All right, your daily winning.
All right, well, I've got to give my daily winnie to a woman that was just fantastic to me over the weekend. Our listener, Brendan Nellums, was at Copper Meadows Horse Trials and took some awesome pictures of me. My husband's not a photo guy, and, you know, if you want to get a good picture, you got to pay an arm and a leg for it. And she took all these beautiful pictures of Edward, and as I crossed the finish line, she took pictures. And so, Brenda, you get my daily winning, and she just shared them on my pages. So thank you so much for doing that. And I did see her at the end, and I was so sweaty and just got done with a cross-country ride, but I would love to give you a big hug. So thank you very much, Brenda. I appreciate it.
You had a stalker. Yay.
I don't think so.
It was a good stalker.
I like to consider her more like paparazzi. I was the celebrity, and she was the paparazzi. I like that better.
No, she did take some fantastic pictures. She really did.
Yeah.
It almost made the two of you look like professionally real, you know?
You know, I thank her for posting the good pictures and not the pictures of him flipping out. So thank you. Like I said, she made me look good.
Speaking of which, so how did it go? What was the verdict here from the weekend?
Poor Edward is just so nervous. I don't think Edward ate any food from the time we got there till the time we got him home. Once I got him home, I actually fed him and he finally ate. He would not eat anything. He looks like he just ran the Triple Crown in 3 days. He's lost so much weight because he was just so nervous. And if he didn't pace or anything. He didn't run circles in his stall. He didn't do anything. He didn't paw. He just stood there, staring out, because we were at a barn that could see the cross-country course, and because there was a 3-star, 2-star, 1-star, they basically ran cross-country, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and he could see it Saturday and Sunday, and he could see the dressage warm-up on Friday. It was just so much for his little brain to handle. So he just basically stood still, and I even had to have somebody braid him because I was babysitting. I had to watch the kid while Chad went to play golf, blah, blah, blah. And she said he didn't move when she braided him. He didn't move. And that's how he kind of did all weekend. It was just a lot for his little brain. So I took him out for dressage. I practiced. You know, I rode him first day, and he did okay. And then he for about half of it, and then he lost it. And him losing it, he's not dangerous. He's very sweet, but he just gets so scared, you know, and he gets very tense and he gets racehorsey where the back gets tight and he jigs and he chomps a bit. He just gets scared, but he never bucks, never rears, never nothing like that. He's really kind. He kind of internalizes all his tension, if you will. So unfortunately, I think I'm going to put him on ulcer meds probably for the rest of his life after this horse trial. But dressage day, he was not the most relaxed. And I say that nicely because I was trying to find somebody to lead him into the dressage ring. That's how nervous he was. So scared to go over by himself in that dressage ring. Oh, he was terrified. And it turns out you can't have anybody lead you into the dressage ring. That is frowned upon. So I had to get him in there, and I did get him in there. And just he got all his leads, and he got all of his – did all the movements correctly. The judge was – I ended up being in the open beginner novice division, so I was competing against, like, real professionals. Like, Gina Miles, Olympian Gina Miles, was in my division. Okay, all the trainers that have green racehorses or green horses were in my division, and I am there with this, like, chomping at the bit racehorse because I've competed training in the past 5 years. So that qualified me for this epic division of awesomeness. So the dressage judge was very kind, okay, because there's a part in the test where you have to walk, And you have to, like, drop the reins and let the horse stretch his neck down and show that he's truly collected. And they stretch their neck down and they walk. Yeah, that didn't happen.
And his feet are actually supposed to touch the ground during the walk?
Yeah. So I dropped the reins and he bolts. So we did not have a walk. And then there's the part where you have to end the test and you turn up the center line and you halt and you salute. And as I'm wrestling with the halt, you're not supposed to salute until you get the halt. So my horse is standing in the middle of the arena and dances all the way to the rail. And I'm, like, trying to salute while he's running sideways. So dressage is not – so there was actually no halt, and I should have got a zero on that. And he kindly gave me a 5 because clearly I was having some problems. And he was very kind. So dressage did not go that well. And we were in dead last after dressage with a 41. And, like, everybody else's score was, like, a 20. You know, so, like – everybody had basically the equivalent of 80s, and I had a 60. So I'm okay with that. You know, what I wanted to do was to get in the dressage ring and then get out, and get out on purpose, not have him jump out or anything. So I felt very pleased that he had a good positive learning experience. Next day was show jumping, and he was awesome. He was so nervous about everything, and he jumped everything. We had no jump faults. We had some time faults because he was so nervous going by the judge. We had to trot a couple of the show jumps. But he actually ended up being really good for show jumping in the end, and got his leads and did some flying changes and was really good, but that's, of course, what we've practiced the most. And then day 3 was cross country. His worst nightmare is coming true. I'm getting him ready, and he's heading out to the course he's been staring at for 4 days straight. All he does is been looking out there at this course, knowing at some point he's got to go out there, and he was very scared, and we go to warm up, and, you know, they in the warm up for eventing, there's usually some little poles that you can jump, you know, some show jumps,
yep,
and there's cross country fences in there too. And he would not jump the cross country fences in warm up. He kept refusing. And I was like, oh God,
this is
going to be so embarrassing. He would not jump the cross country jump. And somebody said, you know, that's really scary. Taryn Atkinson was out there, and she's like, just don't even worry about that one. That one's really scary. Just go. Cause they're like, Jesus, Jennings, life's cool. They're like, you have 15 seconds. I'm like, I gotta go. And I can't get him over a freaking jump in the warm up. So she's like, just go. You'll be fine. So somebody handed me a crop because I didn't have a crop. I had no spurs, no crop, no nothing. Somebody's like, Taryn goes, if he doesn't go to the first one, hit him really hard. So I've never hit this horse with a whip ever. But he is a racehorse. He's probably been smacked once or twice. So we head out, and I had to get my friend Amanda to lead me into the start box because there's horses galloping around. It's his worst nightmare. And so we go in, they count us down, and it's like, hey, have a good ride. And we head out, and you have to run by the warm-up to get by fence number 1, and he bolts to the warm-up, okay? He goes to run back to the warm-up, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. So we actually, I took that whip, and I hit him really hard, and I said, you're going to the first jump. And by the time we got to the first jump, which was a nice, happy little inviting log, he actually jumped it sideways, and then bolted to the second jump, which was kind of up a hill. So I can control a bolt up the hill, and we get to this second jump, and he stops, and he's like, oh, crap, there's a jump, and he jumps it. And then we have a very long gallop to fence number 3. And this is at the point where later on my husband told me, he goes, you looked like you were running advanced. I was so proud of you. You were going so fast. And I said, honey, I did not
but
mean
fact,
to go that fast.
You're lucky they didn't flag you for dangerous riding.
Exactly. I can't believe I didn't get stopped. Of course, he was nothing but a runaway. He was like, oh, I've been waiting for this for 4 days. Giddy up. He ran away with me, and by the time we got to the third jump, I'm trying to pilot him to the third jump, and by the time we get to it, he was like, oh, crap, and he stopped. So we did have one refusal. And so he stops at it, and I hit him with the whip, and I made him jump it from a standstill. I said, you don't get to turn around and see it again. Bam! And I hit him, and he flings himself over it. I don't know how we didn't get flagged. And then basically in between every jump, he just ran away with me. So much so, I mean, I'll tell you what, this was the hardest beginner novice course ever. There was a hanging log. This is beginner novice. Jennifer, be ready. A ditch and wall. There was an up bank, a down bank, a ditch, a triple combination. You know, they flagged it as 1, 2, and 3, you know, 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. so it wasn't like a triple. But there was, this was the hardest course I've ever seen in beginner novice. And he was awesome. Aside from his running away with me like a racehorse.
Aside from going faster than the 3-star horses.
Yeah. So you got exactly.
Penalties.
It well, made them no. look.
Yeah. Well, at the end, I've got the last jump, and it is a, you jump this house, and it's like 3 strides to this down bank, and at this point, he's got it figured out. He's like, I am on it. And he jumps down the down bank up to this house, jumps over the house, and he's got one jump left, and it was uphill, and I thought, well, we're almost done. And I sat down, and I closed my leg around him, and oh, my God, he took off. Like, and we were heading to the last jump, and he was going so fast, I couldn't slow him down at all. So I actually stood up in my, like they were water skis, and I pulled as hard as I could on my left rein.
You looked like a rainer.
Oh, my God. Rain, this was not raining. Raining is beautiful. This was a disaster. So I'm water skiing on my left rein. I finally get him to make a circle, like a big circle. We go so far off course that I'm like down on the next track because I'm trying to pull so hard to get him to slow down. So we end up making a circle. I get him to actually come back to a walk. I then pick up a canter, a trot, and then trot to the last jump and trot across the finish line. And we finished almost on time. Like, even with this big circle, trotting jumps, basically trying to walk across the finish line, we had, like, one time penalty. And it was only because I mean, my watch was going off, and I was like, I don't care. My God, I'm not getting run away with back to, because this way you're heading back to the barn, and I thought I was screwed. However, all that being said, definitely the fastest I've ever galloped on this horse. This horse Edward has never seen anything like this in his entire life, and I was incredibly proud of him, incredibly pleased, and I can't wait to do it again. And my arms are so sore.
Well,
thank you very much.
We were just so happy you came back in one piece, to be honest.
Yes, me too. Me too. And the Atkinsons, they said that I did win an award. It's called the DFL Award. The DFL Award. DFL. Yeah, it's
DFL.
Called Dead Beep Last. Dead Blanking Last.
Did you get a trophy for that?
They said they were going to actually have a prize for the next one. And I said, I will be expecting something in the mail because DFL to me, you can't, there were people that were eliminated. So they said to be the winner of the DFL, you have to have a number and not a letter after your score, which is an E for elimination or R for retired or something, or RF for ride or fall. So I had a number, albeit a very large number. I had a number, and I finished the horse trial. By God, and I won the DFL award. People were asking me how I placed. I'm like, it doesn't matter how you placed, as long as you finished. So I finished. Dead last, baby.
The last time.
Dead.
Well,
last.
I'm glad. Good job. Good job, Jamie.
Thank you.
Well, you know, there's something else I know you absolutely love, and that's Andalusians. And we're going to talk to two people here today who are coming here on behalf of the Andalusian World Cup. And I bet you didn't even know there was one. Well, the Andalusian World Cup happens every year this year, actually, in Vegas coming up. And we're going to talk to them about what it is and what happens. So this is, Jamie, you'd need one of your son's little drool bibs. You would need a drool bib if you went to this thing. And I bet you that's true of most horse people. We have Amber Lentz on with us. She's co-founder of the Andalusian World and one of the Andalusian World Cup show organizers, and also from Andalusian World, Barbara Price. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Let's start with you, Amber. So now tell us about the Andalusian World Cup. How long has this been going on?
This is the first show, the first year.
Oh, it is. Okay. I didn't realize that. Well, that's really cool. And it has a big, long, fancy name. I'll let you say the fancy name because it's all in Spanish and I can't say any of the words.
Okay. It is the Feria del Caballo Español and Andalusian World Cup Show.
Okay. And what does that first part mean?
That first part means that we at Andalusian World have teamed up with Feria del Caballo Español, which is an established show here in California. It is going on its eighth year this year, and we decided, wouldn't it be a great idea to have one big show that had that was the biggest Iberian horse event in North America? So that's what we're doing.
And where can you have the flashiest horses in the world do a show but in the flashiest city? And that's Vegas. So that was a good choice. So now tell me, what do Andalusians do at a show?
They
Everything.
Do many different
Everything.
Things. Well, how about you ask what they don't do?
Okay.
Yeah. They don't event is what they don't do, okay? Other than that, they do everything else.
Oh, but they do event because Karina does.
Okay, perfect. All right, so my bad. So what are some of the classes, I guess, he wanted to know?
Yeah, that's what I came up with.
We are offering everything from halter to driving to Western pleasure to saddle seats to dressage classes. Just about any performance class that you can think of, we offer at the show.
Huh. And how many horses do you expect to show up?
We are expecting somewhere around 400 horses. We have horses coming from all over the U.S., as far away as Chicago. We have people, a couple breeders coming up from Mexico as well. So,
I think the most important question that I would like to know, Barbara, is will there be a large amount of horses for sale?
Well, you know, at horse events, I believe there always are horses for sale. what I have found, though, at Andalusian shows in particular, is some horses that didn't go there for sale end up being sold because many times spectators or others from other breeds come in to take a look and are just enchanted with the breeds, the Iberian breeds, and literally end up making offers or buying horses. But clearly that's not what this show is all about. This show is about showcasing the horses and the breeds, and you know, bringing everybody in from numerous registries throughout the country, and allowing them all to compete together rather than at individual shows and or regional areas. So yes and no.
So what are some of the breed registries within the U.S.?
Well, there are two primary breed registries in the U.S. There's the International Andalusian Lusitano Horse Association, which is the USEF recognized registry for U.S. horses. There is another, the PRE Foundation, that does just Spanish line Iberian horses. And there is also two registries that are the main registries in Spain and Portugal that represent the Andalusian and the Lusitano horses, respectively, Spain being the Andalusians and Portugal being the Lusitanos.
And I just to let you know, I went to Spain to ride Andalusians. They're my favorite breed of all time, obviously. And we went and did some dressage lessons and then went to Portugal. And I have a hard time telling the difference between an Andalusian and a Lusitano. Can you spell that out for us?
Well, that's actually a pretty politically charged question if you know the Iberian breeds. And, you know, from my perspective, hundreds of years ago, they perhaps came up through very similar lines, but so they are very similar in their heritage. But over the years, as Spain and Portugal, I mean, over many, many years, as Spain and Portugal morphed into their own countries, then each took their own version of the breed and then developed and bred for certain characteristics and aspects. The Portuguese tended to breed more of a working horse. They're into a lot of the working disciplines, where Spain, some say they bred them more for beauty, but they're also extremely versatile and, you know, and very talented performance horses. So it's really just a matter of, it's two different registries now, one being Portugal and one being Spain, and then, of course, the American horses have evolved from that. So it's a tough question to answer, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Gotcha. Yeah, so when I was there, they basically said that the ones that are born in Spain are called Andalusians, and the ones born in Portugal are called the other ones. But yeah, they're all pretty. I want one of each. How about that, Glenn?
They're very, very
versatile. I can't imagine, ladies.
I
can't imagine how much cleaning product must be at this particular event. There is probably more Shoshin at this event than any other event in the country.
Well, you know, Amber can speak to that because she is the groomer extraordinaire for these horses.
Oh, you're the queen of Shoshin?
Yes. So typically the stallions' manes and tails are less long, but in the mares we actually roach the manes and part of the tail because it is traditional in Spain that they do that for breeding purposes. They do a lot of pasture breeding as opposed to here where we don't do so much, but because of the tradition, many times you will see mares with roach mane. So that makes my life a little bit easier. I love the mares.
Yeah. You're like, I'll
the
take another mare.
The stallions require a little bit more upkeep.
Now,
so
how
do you take care of a stallion's mane? Because I'm taking notes, because someday I'm going to have an Andalusian stallion, and it will happen, and he's going to be black, and he's going to be beautiful, and I may name him Diablo. I still haven't decided. So what's the product that you use? Anything, or just keep it braided? Like, how do you – sorry, I'm probably getting too detailed, Glenn, but I'm just curious.
Well, I get that question a lot. And pretty much on the mane and tail, you know, you take care of it. It does grow. Horses tend to either be born with a hair gene or not. So, you know, if they don't have a great mane, no matter how well you take care of it, it's not going to grow huge. I have had more than one horse who has had mane down past his knees. And I don't, people ask me, oh, what's a specific product I can use to make his mane grow or to keep it long? I go through a lot of shampoo. So I do like the Cowboy Magic product. They are actually one of our sponsors at the show. They make great conditioner, shampoo, so I use that quite often. And just normally during the week, keep the mane and tail braided and wash it and condition it once a week, and that's about it.
What a great idea for Cowboy Magic to sponsor this show. What a touchdown idea.
Hey, I was looking at some of the classes here, and I was glad. Two things. I saw a native tack and attire. So you have basically a costume class that probably is quite something to see.
It is spectacular.
Yeah, I imagine. And then you also have some driving classes. Yay, because I'm a driver, so I was very glad to see that there are some driving classes.
You know, Glenn, I would also mention that there's going to be a portion of the show that is dedicated to a new and up-and-coming discipline called working equitation, which the Lusitanos and the Andalusians excel at, and it's very big in Europe right now. It's fairly new here in the United States. But there will also be a working equitation competition within the show, within the Andalusian World Cup.
So I'm not seeing any, like, barrel racing classes for the Andalusians. you missed one. You have everything else, but there's just no barrel racing, I'm just saying.
Right.
No, working equitation's probably the closest we get.
Closest.
And that portion is actually open to any breed of horse, the working equitation.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, this is
Glenn,
very cool. When
I
is
just,
it?
I want... I just got to let you know I'm going to have to leave the show now because I'm on AndalusianWorld.com and I'm looking at the stallions that are for sale. And it's never – I found one. His name is Diamante XLIII. And he was born in 2003 and he's black and he's 16-1. Is it a good sign or a bad sign that they don't list the price and it's under private treaty? That means it's like
Jamie,
almost
anytime it says private treaty, you can't afford it on the pay you get from this show, I can tell you.
I can sell a kidney on the black market, and this horse will be mine. Oh, my God, I love him. Sorry, carry on.
That is so funny
when
you were
show,
saying.
Somebody wants to come to Vegas or is going to be heading to Vegas anyway and wants to hop over, when and where is it?
It is at South Point. And
at South Point Casino. That's where they hold a lot of the big horse shows there, and the NFR is there and all that stuff. Yep.
Yes, it is an amazing facility. Part of the show will be in the existing arena, and then South Point has actually, I don't know if everybody knows, has built two new arenas. We are going to be one of the first shows that is showing in the new arena.
Oh, how
so
cool is that?
Exciting. Yeah.
That's really neat. Now, is there so where can people find out more about it? Where do they go?
AndalusianWorld.com, of course.
And is there going to be a live stream from there like some shows do, or is that too much for the first year?
No, we are definitely live streaming both different sections of the show. If you visit AndalusianWorld.com and click on the Watch Live on the header on the homepage, the show pops up and you can watch it. And South Point will also be broadcasting it to the hotel rooms at the show.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, congratulations, guys, on getting this organized. I know what a chore it is to organize an event like this, and it's something you put your life into for a year, and then you hope it all goes well. So good luck with it, and if anybody wants to watch it again, it's AndalusianWorld.com. Amber Lentz and Barbara Price. We'll be thinking about you here coming up the end of the month.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
bye, guys.
You, guys.
Bye.
This is your show, Jamie. You're going to have to go next year.
Just so you know, Diamante was imported from Spain, and he is a wonderful representative of the breed, and he is classically trained in high school dressage, and he can be ridden everywhere. So I think... this is my horse. I'm watching the sale video right now.
Well, if this stallion is trained in high school dressage, is Edward like elementary school or kindergarten?
Edward would not even be considered on the same page. I mean, not even.
That's funny. Well, that's cool. This is very neat. I didn't know this existed. They contacted us about a couple of weeks ago and said, can we come out and talk about our show? And I said, sure, because Jamie will just be drooling the whole time. And apparently you are.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I want to go. I want to go. It would be bad, but I want to go.
Now, how are we going to get you back and centered and into talking to, well, you know, let me just get him on here. Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine. Dr. Chang, I think it's a bad time to come on because Jamie is just not focused here. She's looking at Andalusians, and she's looking at horses for sale, and we're not going to get her back.
all you have to do is to tell hubby that Jamie wants to buy four more horses, and he'd be flipping out all the time, right?
You know what though? You know what though, Dr. Chang? She can't afford a quarter of one of these horses.
I can't afford to clean the stall of one of these horses. So I've paused the video. I'm going to talk to Dr. Chang because this is actually something that I could really probably learn about right now because performance and recovery is what we're going to talk about. And I talked about earlier, Dr. Chang, that I was at a horse trial all week. So what are you going to tell us about today?
Well,
by the way, Dr. Chang, the horse is fine. Jamie needs the recovery.
Yeah, seriously. Good point.
You know, You know, I usually talk a lot about the horses, but one of the things that a lot of people don't even think about is that, you're right, about the rider. The rider himself or herself needs that extra help, because whether you like it or not, whilst the horses is doing their thing, you're also doing your thing. And like anything else, if you're not healthy and in good shape, you're going to feel effects, you know, a lot more than if you were. Before I even start, I just want to give Jen Steinberg a great thank you for filling in last month at the ATA show when I wasn't around. So thank you, Jen.
She did a great job, too, by the way. She was delightful.
I expected that.
She was feeling a little stressed because, you know, she had big shoes to fill with you, Dr. Chang, and she did great. It was so good to have her on.
I know I got big feet, Glenn, but you don't got to rub it in that bad. No. Anyway, but going on about the performance end, all right, and recovery, you know, a lot of the riders should be looking into things like vitamins, right, just so that they have the energy. Because of the bouncing around also, they need things for their joints.
Hey,
right?
Dr. Chang, most people don't think about that.
Yes.
Dr. Chang, we seem to have lost a good connection with you. Let's see if it gets better here. So I have to have you repeat that whole thing because you were breaking up.
Okay. I was going to say the thing that nobody thinks about too much is about their health of the rider and the recovery of the rider. And for the riders, again, you need to be healthy. You need to have things to support the joints, because with the horse and you're bouncing around, gripping the body with the knees, etc., it's tough on the knees too, so you need things for the joints. You also you burn a lot of energy, so you need things to give you that extra oomph during the ride itself. I know the horse, most people think the horse is just doing all the work, if you, like me, sitting down on the sideline, but, you know, I do know that the riders themselves, if they're not fit, they won't be able to perform at a great level. So you should be looking at, the riders should be looking at some sort of a recovery program, prevention program. Now, I know we're talking about horses in the morning, so we should confine a lot more of our comments to horses than people. So on with that in mind, that was a little segue into the people side of it. But with that in mind, again, with the horses, all right, you got to look after the joints. You got to look after just a simple vitamin mineral status of your horse, because I know a lot of people feed their horse pelleted feeds, right? Whilst a lot of them claim to be balanced, you know, sometimes if your horse is performing, they burn up a lot of B vitamins, so they should be getting a lot of those B vitamins from an extra source outside of their pelleted foods, right? Performance horses have also problems with ulcers, so you got to look after the ulcer issue. So with that in mind, Omega Alpha has the Regenerec and also the Gastro FX. Now, the Regenerec is one of those wonderful products out there that actually heals the ulcer, and most and best of all, people see results very quickly. Like, you don't have to wait like 6 months to figure out whether it's working or not. If it's going to be working, you'll see it within 3 to 4 days that you notice a huge difference in the way your horse performs. Right? Things, now that's just the ulcer side. Now, then there's also things like respiratory, right? Because if you are in the arena, there's a lot of dust. If you're racing, there's a lot of dust. Training, there's a lot of dust. A lot of times the horses have issues with breathing. And Omega Alpha has that wonderful product called Respirefree, right? Which is an all-round product, but we have specialized products too for, you know, things like if you have extra mucus production, we use the lung flush. If you just need a bronchodilator, we have airwaves, right? You got to keep the gut healthy. So we had the Regeneric. I forgot the Biotic 8, which is one of Jamie's favorite products out there, right? And then last but not least, we have the joint products, because, you know, when you think of all that poundage on the horse and he's running and those little four stilts he calls legs, right? You know, all that weight comes down on those four little legs. right? It takes the joints really take a pounding. So you need things like the anti-flam, the Sinuex, which really helps strengthen the joint, really helps relieve the pain and suffering on that joint, makes the animal a lot more comfortable, you know? And those are just some of the – sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, those are great. Now, I want to touch on the GastroFX because I'm not that familiar with that product.
Mm-hmm.
So the GastroFX actually heals ulcers. So, like, if you give it to him, because my horse is a very big stress case. I mean, he is
mm-hmm.
a stress nightmare. So I've thought about, actually, my husband and I were talking about it on the way home, figuring out maybe because he's really hard to keep weight on and he loses it very quickly, if that's something, an ulcer issue that we need to start to address. And so the GastroFX could be kind of a natural, more herbal way to do it instead of pumping him full of all the, you know, omeprazole that costs you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
So tell me how the GastroFX works.
What the GastroFX does, there are actually there's things like glutamine in there, right? There are things like slippery and marshmallow, ginger, all that's in there. And what those things do, first of all, some of them are anti-inflammatory, so it helps control the inflammation process. A lot of ulcers is inflammation also, right? And some of these herbs actually promote the healing of the ulcer. So this is what you'd use. It's a great, what I call a great maintenance product.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it helps heal if you have ulcers in there. Now, I mean, things like omeprazole is a wonderful product. If I had to go head-to-head with omeprazole, I would use our Regeneric. Our Regeneric product works as fast as the omeprazole. We have had people who have a serious ulcer case, and, you know, within a couple of days, they see great results with their horses, right, with this product, Regeneric, right? So, you know, this is one product that I would if you have a horse that's ribby, that you just look at and it screams ulcers, try them on the Regeneric first, and then once that's under control with the Regeneric, you use the GastroFX as a maintenance product. Because the problem with ulcers is that once you heal them, you know, they all come back at their performance because it's anxiety, it's the microbiological environment in the gut. You got to change that environment. So that's why people I would use the probiotics, which is in our Biotic 8. Right.
Yes. Well, he's on Biotic 8, and I thought maybe that would help him pick up a little bit of weight. I mean, we don't have to spend the whole time talking about my horse, but I know a lot of people in the eventing community, all, you know, just in show horses and performance horses,
mm-hmm.
this is something that we all deal with now. So it's nice to know that there's a more herbal way to deal with it. So a little Regenerex and GastroFX to kind of follow it up and keep him on
that's
it.
That's for sure.
And
hello?
Go ahead, please.
No,
yeah,
I was just going to say a little tip for all those people into the performance about 50, if you give your horse about 60 cc's of GastroFX about 10 to 15 minutes before you put the bridle on, you have a horse that's a lot more comfortable in the gut. And the reason for that is most horses, the stats say that most horses do have ulcers. And the thing is, as soon as you put that bridle in the mouth, what happens? The brain is sending a message to the stomach saying, hey, food's coming, because there's that reflex. And once the stomach thinks food's coming, the first thing it does is pump out extra acid. And as it's pumping out extra acid, what happens then is that if you have an ulcer in the stomach, well, that ulcer just gets aggravated even more. And if it also gets aggravated even more, it's painful. So then you have a horse that has a painful stomach that's not going to be too cooperative. Now, if you give him the GastroFX about 15 minutes before you put the bridle on, you have a horse that's a lot more comfortable. You'll have a different horse. You'll see differences in your performance big time. And that's just a small tip for people to give that a try next time they're in competition. Again,
now,
nothing tests.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's fantastic. You're going to do an educational seminar on September 29th on performance and recovery and go over all these these different products a little bit more thorough. Obviously, we're a little shorter on time. So do you have the information, Dr. Chang, or would you like me to tell you what you're going to do?
Well, I think I'll let you do the honors. How's that?
Okay, so Omega Alpha is committed to helping you learn more about the equine products by offering free teleseminars and web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. It's very easy to register. You call 1-800, we'll post this on our Facebook page, but call 1-800-651-3172. You ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code, and it's on the educational section of the Omega Alpha page. It's going to be September 29th, performance and recovery. But thank God you have good people, because she actually told me that you would not probably know about this. They just tell you where to be and when.
That's a sad comment on life. You know that, right?
And it's
life is getting too, yeah, life is getting too busy when it comes down to that point.
MegaAlphaEquine.com is the website. Hey, Dr. Chang, I do have one quick question before we let you go.
Sure.
And I know you were over in China for a few weeks. Well, so what was the highlight of your trip to China?
I will say this. We went to Xi'an to see the Terracotta Warriors. I went up to Beijing to saw, and I saw the Great Wall. One thing I will say, China has so much history. You could spend a lot of time just looking at the historical monuments. But one of the things that struck me the most was the amount of people. Everywhere you went were people, 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 people. It would be like if you were downtown Manhattan on a daily basis, right, and all you did was cruise around downtown Manhattan. You know, it was, and unfortunately, when I went, it was hot and humid and sticky. But you know what? I had a great time. I enjoyed walking around, and I enjoyed walking around and looking at the different things that was up for sale. I went to I did a touristy thing, go to the little markets and so on. And again, people. There was wall-to-wall people in some of these places. Right. So it was nice to come home to Canada, to Toronto, and when people complain here, oh, there's so many people in Toronto, I just say, you don't know what people is.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh.
Yeah, but it's nice. I mean, it's one of the things is with so many people is convenience. You stick your hands up and there's three taxis waiting to take you around. You know, if you like here in Toronto, unless you phone the taxi to get there, you never see a taxi floating around in front of your door, right? So
right.
There's trade-offs. You know, but it was good. It was good.
Well, if you're claustrophobic, not good.
There's enough going around.
One of the things I've always wanted to see was the Great Wall, and everybody that's been there said it's just something that you never forget.
It is. Yeah. Just make sure you're in good shape if you're going to walk up that thing. You know, it is not.
it's not flat.
But, yeah, it's an experience.
Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We really appreciate it. Again, it's OmegaAlphaEquine.com, and the seminar, the next educational seminar, is September 29th. Much more about performance and recovery. You can call 800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne to get your classroom address and the entry code. Thank you, Dr. Chang. We'll see you again next month.
See you then. Nice talking to
you. Thanks, Dr. Chang. Nice talking to you, too. Now, of course, when Dr. Chang comes on, it just costs my husband money. That's what we're going to have to do. But, you know, whatever. He'll love it. He'll love it.
Well, we are we're going to take a break for Easy Signs Online and also our song, Viva La Cowboy by Dan Roberts. And we're going to be back. We have much more show to go. We have Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses and also the final WEG wrap-up and some news stories that we have to get to because there was more than one show over the weekend. So we're going to talk about some of those coming up as well. This week's spotlight product from EasySignsOnline.com is their outdoor silhouette cutouts. Made from a long-term outdoor durable vinyl aluminum material, these cutouts will outlast the old-style painted wood ones by many, many years. A great way to add an equestrian image to your barn, horse stalls, mailboxes, houses, or campers. Choose from dozens of equestrian or animal graphics online, available in two different sizes starting at only $59.95. And remember, free shipping on most orders over $100, all at EasySignsOnline.com. Get your silhouette cutout today.
All right, all you cowboys and cowgirls, I really need your help singing the chorus on this one. It's called Viva la Cowboy. I hear a lot of talk about him dying. They're calling him a vanishing breed. They sing them sad songs about how he's come and gone, as if he's faded into history. Well, I can tell you something for certain. Yeah, one thing that I know for a fact, they ain't exactly dropping the curtain on a way of life that's way intact. So viva the cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy. He's still got a home on the range. Pickup trucks are still hauling hay. They keep on raising the bar in the PBR, and there's thousands in the PRCA. You won't find them on the endangered species. They ain't protected anywhere that I know. And they're still making them as tough and as bronky as they did when the buffalo roamed. Hey, viva la cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches and they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy, he's still got a home on the range.
God, help me out here now.
Viva the cowboy, long live the kind. Here's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy. He's still got a home on the range. Yeah, viva the cowboy. He'll always have a home.
Well, that was Dan Roberts with Viva La Cowboy. You can find all of his music on iTunes. Just search for Dan Roberts. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, there was some news I wanted to get to. We haven't done news much. The WEG has kept us busy for the last couple of weeks and tons of guests, but I have to give one of these. I'm going to give him one of these. I'm going to give a bonus daily Winnie out to a couple of employees at the Fairfield Inn at the Beaumont Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Probably some of you listening to this show right now stayed there when you were in doing the Lexington trip. Well, this is what happened, Jamie. So there you have the front desk clerk and the assistant manager. And I used to be a nighttime desk clerk at a hotel when I was just graduated from high school. And we used to do the 11 to 7. And I had some of the most bizarre, it was about a 100-room hotel. And I had some of the most bizarre things happen at night. Well, this was actually, I think, during the day. And they were just doing, checking people in and out, you know, doing their normal thing. And when all of a sudden, somebody comes running into the lobby saying, somebody has hit the gas, the meter that they is that the for the gas line, and has hit the gas meter, and we smell gas. So apparently, this elderly man had guess what he did? It happens every time that you hear about an elderly story about somebody running into something.
He hit the gas thinking it was the brake.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time somebody drives into a Waffle House, it's that. It's they hit the gas instead of the brake, right? So that's what happened, although he took out the gas meter, and which caused the gas leak. Well, by the time this person, this, you know, just patron there, ran in and told the people behind the desk and the manager, they could smell the gas, and the alarm started going off. So the manager, very wisely, this nice lady, got her master room key, told the other person to stand at the front desk and handle the phone calls that would be coming in, while the alarm was going off, and she went room to room through all 60 rooms with her master room key, in some cases dragging people out of the shower, getting them just to throw towels on and get out of the building. So she was entering the room saying, get out, got everybody out. The fire department arrived, and about 10 minutes later, the place blew up.
Are you kidding me?
No. And the one guy they interviewed was standing across the road, said, see that hole over there? That was my room. And I was one of those people that she got out of the shower. So if it wasn't for the fast action of this assistant manager, her name is Debbie Tyler, let's give her props. If it wasn't for her fast action doing this, there would be this story would be completely different because nobody was injured. They took two firemen off to the hospital just for minor stuff. But there's actually a video online that they took after the explosion, that somebody would cross the street at another hotel where a whole half of the building just collapses. A lot of the right things happened at the right time to make this a story about a damaged building rather than a whole bunch of deaths. So, congratulations to all of them.
Superhero, can you imagine sitting in a hotel room with the people running out, get out, the hotel's going to blow. Oh, my God.
I know.
And being in the shower. And so, I guess they knew where the people were in the rooms. I mean, how amazing. What a hero. What an absolute hero. Now, I have another Kentucky news story for you, Glenn. And it's sort of heroic, but it's really actually pretty gross. So I'm going to tell you.
Oh, great.
So there's this woman named Patricia Ritz of Ohio County, Kentucky. And Patricia Ritz bred wolf hybrids and has been charged with animal cruelty on so many occasions since 1986 and repeatedly found guilty over and over and over again. This is why Arizona is great, because they really prosecute these people. Apparently Kentucky does not prosecute very much, because this lady was continued to have animals and continued to breed them and abuse them and starve them and neglect them, large numbers of dogs and wolf hybrids through her entire life. Well, karma will find you, you horrible person, because the body of her Patricia Ritz was recently discovered by deputies who went to conduct the normal welfare check at her property. Well, apparently Patricia somehow died and all of her animals ate her body. What?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. So people
happy
are
breakfast,
saying,
everybody.
Yeah, happy breakfast. Oh, my God. So it's funny. What's funny is that she was eaten by the animals that she was starving. And apparently this is there's a husky rescue involved now, and Ohio County Animal Control and all these people. And Mary Beth Kolb with Adopt a Husky Rescue said, after the sadness, there was relief. There was absolutely was relief that this will never happen again. Karma will come and get you. Karma will come and get you. And apparently the animal control said that all the people that are working there have been crying, but not because the lady was eaten, because all the animals were finally relieved of the torture that they've been through. There's a video of the property. I can't watch it, but it's on theexaminer.com if you want to see it. I don't even think we should post it a link, because this is animal cruelty at its best, but or at its worst, I should say. But, yeah, she was eaten by the animals that she was starving. There you go. I wonder how she died.
Well, let's do a happier note here. Let's do a happier story before we get to Leslie.
I'm sorry. I thought that story was kind of happy. I'm sorry. I did. you know how I feel about animal abuse, so I thought that was a happy story. Anyway, Andrew Nicholson won Burley. And remember last year, Jock Padgett. Yeah, for the third time. But now, does this include Jock Padgett winning last year and having the victory taken away from him because he tested positive?
Leslie's on here from Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. Leslie, that's right. That's what happened, right? That's why Andrew ended up winning last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. He did. He did, but not anymore. Jock's got his title back. So, because they just cleared him at the beginning of August, I guess. So
they cleared him, but they didn't give him his
title back.
No. So now that's why they're saying Andrew Nicholson won the last 3 years. Well, last year was kind of like an asterisk because he actually didn't win. That's what I was curious about. They're counting. They're saying he won 3 years in a row. So he actually came second last year. But whatever. Andrew Nicholson, the gorgeous silver fox, as they call him, won again.
Well, and you know what was so amazing about that is it's the first time that somebody's won three times in a row like that on the same horse. So it's all been the same horse. Usually, with the big boys, the William Fox Pitts and so forth, they're always riding different horses. So this was the same horse. And, oh, my God, between New Zealand and Australia and England, they just dominated the top ten. What they didn't, they should have brought these horses to the WEG because they needed some help down there, New Zealand and Australia and things. They should have switched them, and they would have been better off, I think. Yeah, so
I agree. Sorry, I thought Leslie was going to jump in there. it was definitely Australia took first, second, and third. And the good news is Jock Padgett,
New Zealand. Andrew is New Zealand, isn't he? Yeah,
sorry,
New Zealand. He's New Zealand. Yep.
My bad. I was looking at the wrong flag. Clifton Promise. Who last year tested positive actually ended up in second. I know there was a lot of people pulling for him, so he ended up in second, and that's where. But the United States, Marilyn Little, an RF Demeter. How do you say that, Leslie?
I have no idea.
Demeter. I'm Southern. I'll say Demeter. Demeter came in 20th, and Allison Springer and Arthur, who just had such a fantastic dressage test, was in the top 10 after dressage, had some cross-country penalties and time. Everybody had time. But she ended up taking down a couple of rails. She finished in 21st. So U.S. was 20th and 21st, which, could be worse. Could be worse. Yeah. Could be better. It could be worse. So, Leslie, what's going on Horse Nation? How you doing? Have you recovered from the WAG hangover?
I was just looking at this Burley scoreboard and how many of the riders competed at the World Equestrian Games and then went straight to Burley and then did another four-star there. And it just puts my exhaustion in perspective. I did not do two four-stars two weekends in a row. Can you imagine? I hope those guys are taking a couple days off.
I did a horse trial this weekend, and I think I need a month to just not even ride. I don't even want to ride.
Oh, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. But, yeah. I guess the WEG is over. I woke up this morning and saw that one of our weekend editor had posted some GIF of it looks like they had the jumper guys who go jump the jumps in their underpants in the closing ceremony. So that's That was pretty exciting.
So the opening ceremonies was the cool ocean waves, and the guy driving the horse around was really, really cool. I'm sure everybody's seen that by now because it went viral. And now the closing ceremonies is guys in their underwear jumping show jumps. I mean, that's seriously.
That wins. That wins. And there was a horse also, apparently, was featured in the show. A zebra horse.
Oh, cool.
So clearly the funds did not carry through from opening to closing ceremonies. They ran out of money, and they're like, hey, let's get some naked guys to jump jumps.
That's right.
That works.
That's beautiful. Actually, it's not bad. I'm watching it on horsenation.com, the WEG wrap-up. You can check it out there. Now, Leslie, you have some, I don't know, you're trying to kind of help the female listeners, readers, find men. And there was a segment that I really like called So You Want to Be with a Horse Girl. And explain.
Yeah, one of our writers, Lila Gendel, contributed this, and she just said it's basically a list of five criteria that if your prospective partner possesses them, it's going to make life a lot easier for us horse girls. They ought to be, she says, supportive, patient, because we're always running late, always. Okay with a little grunge. I know I look gross about 90% of the time, so got to be okay with that, a little dirt under the fingernails. Not intimidated by our fixation with driving large trucks and large machinery. I mean, that might be a little, emasculating for some partners of horse girls.
You know, though, the thing is, my husband's still asleep. Just let him drive. You know, they're going to a horse show. He really
Take
likes to drive. Let him drive. Take a nap. Yeah,
exactly. And then the last one she says is agreeable. They kind of need to be able to go with the flow because, I think we kick a lot their way, and probably someone who's just going to be chill about it and non-smile is a really effective strategy, I think, for you're going to date a horse girl.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I was just reading this, and they're all so true. I fully agree with everything here.
That was my question, was do you feel like she nailed it? Is there anything she's missing, Glenn?
Oh, she's missing a lot of things. some of them we can't talk about on the radio, but she's missing a lot of things here. But this is a good start. I mean, this you don't want to give throw out too much at once. So it's got to be taken in little bites, little dribbles along the way, because otherwise it's just too overwhelming. First of all, she doesn't have enough room on the page to put them all, but five is probably a good start.
I want to know too, though.
The one complaint I do have is we see these lists all the time, right? We do see these lists all the time, but we never see it the other way. What the horse girls have to do to compromise to maintain a healthy relationship and to stay married. We never
right.
see that one. That's the one
no,
we never
nobody, see. We don't want to read that.
We don't really care.
You think that's gonna get clicks? Do you think that's gonna get page views? No, we don't want to read that.
All right. So
how can our men better serve us?
Well,
Leslie,
I think
you're right, but there are certain things every once in a while that we, like I said, let them drive. Well, let them drive. There's got to be some things that we do to keep them happy. Probably some of them we can't write about, Glenn, but some we probably can. So maybe we can combine our brains and see if we can come up with something that we actually do to help our husbands. Like my husband at a horse trial, I let him drive. the mm-hmm. Chaka trailer. And I also let him go play golf dressage morning before my test.
Oh, by the way, you must be the ideal woman because I have never known anybody let their husband, especially when there's a baby involved, go play golf.
Yeah, you know what? He had to fit the bill for the braider because I'm like, I can't braid my horse and watch a baby at the same time. So somebody's going to have to give here. So we did do that. He's like, your braiding cost more than my golf round. I was like, well, you shouldn't have gone and played golf. So I guess I wasn't really supportive of the whole golf thing,
no, that
but it happened
really
in
supportive. So the whole time he's playing golf, he's feeling guilty.
The whole time he's playing golf, I was cussing him is what I was doing. So there you go. It does happen, I guess. All right. So we need to come up with a list, Leslie, and see if we can come up with just one or two things that we do to let our husbands feel like they're in a giving relationship and not just a taking relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I better write that.
You better write that one. But you know, Glenn, yeah. We did have another post this weekend that was kind of acknowledging that male writers have problems too. it's called
Ooh.
11 Equestrian Problems, Male Writer Edition. Of course it was written
yeah.
by a girl, but...
First thing I looked at is who was it written by. That's the first thing I looked at.
Our staff is a little lopsided when it comes to gender, but we do what we can. We make do.
I love the first one. I love the first problem, and it is that all breaches that manage to leave something to the imagination are well over $100. It's true, because then you buy those like crappy tight looking jeans, tight looking breeches, and they, we don't need to see that. Really, it's not.
We don't need
attractive.
To see that.
No, it reminds me of a little video we saw a couple weeks ago with the prancer-sized lady. Remember?
Oh,
And I love the fact that you pay $200 and they still don't fit right. And that is true. That's true. Because they're made for women.
So what are some more of the male problems?
Well, here's one that just has been a burning question for me forever. Like, how do you manage the sitting trot? Like, isn't that terrifying? I need to know. Tell it like it is, Glenn.
What was it?
The sitting trot. Aren't you afraid you're going to, sit on something accidentally?
Leslie, so I'm going to tell you what. Glenn has
why
never
I don't
sat
ride,
the
Leslie.
Trot.
Why I don't ride.
He does not sit the trot. Now, I have asked this question to a male rider before who was kind of more of an advanced eventer. And I said, what exactly do you do with the parts that we don't have? Like, I don't know how that works.
How?
Because
mechanically. Like, wait, where did it go?
Where did it go? I don't know. And he told me that one of the secrets, and this is the only thing I could ever get out of him, it was to wear tidy whities. He goes, wear tidy whities. You must not wear boxers.
Boxers would not be good.
I don't really understand it. I'm curious about it. I don't know it. I don't understand it. I'm a little afraid of it. And I don't know. Well, maybe someday somebody will give us more information on that. Or somebody can draw a diagram of the biomechanics of the sitting trot for male genitalia. I don't get it.
There you go, Leslie.
There you go.
Leslie will study that. She's going to have to study first, you know. She's going to have to watch video after video, and, you know, she's going to have to do a lot of research. There'll be a lot of research for that.
Like, is there, like, X-rated post idea for a horse nation we've come up with so far this morning between how to reciprocate your Jamie's idea.
It's Monday morning,
you know what?
And we are.
And now this
you
one.
What,
oh, my goodness.
It's still the top-rated show for this past year on the Horse Radio Network is the one we did on Stable Scoop, the most listened-to show where we talked about naked dining. So anything involving nudity, you're good to go. You're going to get there.
I would watch it. I would look at diagrams of male genitalia in a sitting trot. I would. I'm sorry. I'm curious enough to know. I don't know where else we can go from here. I don't know where else.
Leslie, thanks for joining us on Friday, too. We really appreciate you being here talking about the WEG. We'll do our final WEG wrap-up here in a minute. So thank you for joining us again today. Of course, it's horsenation.com is where you'll find all the good fun stuff in the wacky world of horses. And we'll talk to you again next week, Leslie. Thanks.
Hey, take care.
Work on that drawing, okay?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. She brought it up, though. She brought it up.
All right. Let's go now over to, let me see here. Okay. We're going to do, I got to find my file, the last one.
2014, the year of the 7th World Equestrian Games, and the turn of Normandy to stage the biggest equestrian event in the world.
Let's hear from the FEI on the last day of the World Equestrian Games.
The final day of the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games 2014 came to a close with the climax of both the driving and individual jumping competition. Down at La Prairie Racecourse, the crowd packed into the open-air arena to watch the final phase of the driving competition. The battle for the number one spot was between three men, Teo Timmerman, Chester Weber, and overnight leader Boyd Excel. The top three contenders for gold were separated by only two balls, each driver needing a perfect round for a chance to win the title. Teo Timmerman was the first of the three to go round the technical course. Teo went clear and into the lead. All he could do was watch and wait. Next in was Chester Weber. His super smooth round, along with a consistent pace throughout his test, got him home inside the time and into the number one spot. The final driver into the arena was reigning world champion Boyd Excel. Boyd needed to be consistent and steady around this tricky course, as a single cone would knock him into the silver position. He did not disappoint, coming home inside the time with a faultless test, securing the gold and retaining his world championship status. The team honors went to the Dutch team, with Germany in silver and Hungary in bronze. In the stunning Dornano Stadium, the air was electric with anticipation as the final four competition got underway. Four of the best riders from 4 days of thrilling competition have come forward to today's finale. The final four and their horses. Jerome Doubledam and Status. Beezy Madden and Cortez. Patrice Delavaux and Orient Express HDC. Rolf Joran Bengtsson and Casal ASK. The first round saw each rider on their own horse. All but Rolf Joran Bengtsson jumped clear and inside the time. Early on, Rolf and Beezy struggled to harmonize with their combinations, taking them out of contention. It was clear the competition was going to come down to two riders, home favorite Patrice Delavaux and Dutchman Jerome Doubledam. Both athletes had the crowds on the edge of their seats as they matched each other's clear rounds. As the third round took off, Patrice jumped a near-perfect round but had a costly time penalty. Jerome jumped his third clear of the competition, moving him into the gold medal position. This nail-biting finale came right down to the wire. Patrice raised the roof of the Dornano Stadium, jumping his final clear of the day, putting all the pressure on Doubledam. Only a single penalty divided the top two riders, so only a fast clear round would do. Jerome expertly guided Casal ASK home with an immaculate fourth clear of his day, taking the title of Alltech FEI World Champion 2014. It was the ultimate finish to a sensational 2 weeks of thrilling equestrian sport at the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games 2014.
And that was, we're going to have to, actually going to have Chester Weber on the driving radio show. We're going to be speaking to him this afternoon. I know he must have been very disappointed. He was leading after dressage and then had a tough day in cross country and ended up with the silver medal. And I know he really wanted gold. BZ Madden ended up with the bronze for jumping. So the United States did pick up a couple of medals at the end, but it was Great Britain, once again, who dominated the medal count. They had 7 golds, a total of 15 medals. Netherlands were right behind them with 6 golds, a total of 18 medals, and then Germany with 5 golds and a total of 15 medals. The United States was, we were lagging a little bit behind. We had 2 golds and then 7 medals total. Our friends in Canada ended up with 2 medals, silver and a bronze. So, and there were, they're saying, now you can't always trust these numbers as I learned a little bit during the last WAG, but they're saying that there were 74 participating nations, an increase of 25% on the games in 2010. 570,000 people said they came to the games, and 400,000 of them were not allowed to go to the bathroom. And they actually fed about 50,000 of them. No, that wasn't in the official numbers. They said that more than 50,000 attended the Alltech Music Festival that went on during that time, and there was over 1,800 media, Jamie, from 52 countries there. 18,
wow.
There were more media than spectators.
it seems like so, but what a huge, what a cool thing to have. I mean, what a great idea this whole thing was. I'm sad that it wasn't executed well, but there's just nothing more exciting than the World Equestrian Games. There's a whole games about horses. I love it.
Well, we did watch a lot of it, Jennifer and I. We watched the jumping, the jump-off there at the end. There's some controversy about the jump-off because the final four on the last day actually switch horses, and they ride all each other's horses. And I think it's thrilling. Some people think it's not fair. I think it makes it a lot more fun because, you know, at that level, they should be able to ride any horse. And pretty much they showed they could ride any horse, you know. And they're getting on these horses for the first time. They have 2 minutes to warm up, and then they're in the ring jumping six-foot jumps, you know. So it was It was fun to watch. It is fun to watch. The driving was a lot of fun to watch. Jennifer and I watched the marathon and watched them going through the obstacles with those four horses, and it's just incredible. We'll be doing some wrap-ups on the other shows as we go along here, and that'll be it for the World Equestrian Games. That's pretty much be our last coverage here on Horses in the Morning for that. What else did I want to do? There was one other thing. Oh, I wanted to give a shout-out and an attaboy to our friend Guy McLean, who is going to be doing matinee performances, I think, all 4 days of the New York Central Park Horse Show. Remember, we talked about
really?
They're going to be doing for the first time, Trump is organizing a horse show in Central Park in New York City, and They're going to do a $200,000 Grand Prix for jumpers when they're getting riders in from around the world. They're also going to be they're bringing leading riders in for a dressage competition, including Isabel Wirth from Germany and a whole bunch of people from around the world that are well-known in the dressage world. And the matinee performances are to be followed by world-renowned Australian horseman Guy McLean, who will perform a full hour of his one-of-a-kind Liberty Act and will demonstrate, will do his demonstration. So good for him. I'm so happy for him.
It couldn't happen to a better guy, you know. He's just such a nice guy. I'm happy for him.
Yep. So that's what's going on there. Tomorrow we have what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Endurance Day, one of our most popular days here on Horses in the Morning. And Karen has arranged some interviews with some of the people who competed at the World Equestrian Games. And if you remember our coverage of it, it was not a stellar competition on the endurance side, so we're going to talk about what happened and what went on in the opinion of the people who were actually out there and actually rode the courses. So that'll be here tomorrow, and then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday morning.
Oh, my God. Let me just tell you a little Phoenix news right now is that schools have been canceled. While we've been talking,
what happened?
I have had the worst rainstorm that I've ever seen. Just started at 3 in the morning in Phoenix, and it is...
You don't get rain.
We get monsoons in August, usually. But the worst monsoon just rolled through here, and they have canceled school. My veterinarian just posted on Facebook that they've canceled all the appointments. I looked outside during that WEG update. My pastures are flooded. It looks like I got 100 hours of irrigation. And the good news is I actually get irrigation tomorrow morning. So that's awesome. So it's totally flooded. Everything's flooded. We're supposed to get more rain tomorrow. They canceled school because of rain. How crazy is that? Phoenix just can't handle rain. It's just packed. It just sits on top of the desert. So it's really exciting around here. Oh, I don't know how
that's
going
to
get
to
work.
That might have to mow the lawn an extra time this week.
Man, wouldn't that be nice? Can't mow the lawn because it's flooded right now, Glenn.
And you know what's going to happen is that'll take all the scorpions and things and wash them right up into your house. So that's
going to
happen.
Yay! We're so lucky. I live in hell. This place is hell on earth. Nobody should live here. This is god-awful.
I don't think people really were meant to live in the desert unless you had a tent and some camels. I think that's the only way it happened.
Yeah,
no.
You weren't supposed to live here. The animals try to kill you. The plants try to kill you. Everything is sharp and makes you bleed, and then it floods, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, so school's canceled. School day, or snow day here in Phoenix. Rain day.
All right, well, let's call it a day here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you to all of our guests, our sponsor, Omega Alpha Equine. We appreciate them being part of the show every single Monday. And, of course, Leslie shows up here every week. And, Jamie, it is the 20th. I'm sure you could find some excuse for the 25th to the 27th to head to Vegas, right? I mean, you shouldn't have too much trouble talking your husband into that. To go
Vegas,
see
baby. Vegas. Yeah. I'm in. I want to go.
Should be... We'll just say, here, sit down at the nice blackjack table. I'll be back.
They won't let babies in the casino, so I guess who's going to watch the kid? Because I'm going to a horse show. He's going gambling. We'll just leave baby in the hotel room. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it'll be just like at a horse show. Here, dear, you watch the child. I'll be back.
Yeah. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld.